Law software. Yeah, there's a PAT loss of about 12.8 crores vis-à-vis 4 crores for FY21. In this 12.8 crores, ESOP expenditure was to an extent of about 8.24 crores. If you look at our portfolio, like we had close to about 18 companies, which also includes our subsidiary and associates, with a cost of investment of about 6.23 crores. And in case if you look at fair value as of 31st March 2022, it's about 62.35 crores. With that, now over to Ravi. You can open up for Q&A.
Thank you, Sriya, sir. I now request the participants that in case you have a question, you may please either you can raise your hand and ask a question. We would encourage the participants to ask the question directly by raising their hands rather than going through the chat box. Sure. We have a first question from Mr. Saurabh Shah from AUM Advisors. Mr. Saurabh Shah, I have unmuted you. You can please go ahead.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, Saurabh, we can hear you. Please go
Yeah,
ahead.
hi. Srinivas, I don't know if it's asking for too much, but this is the first time we are having an interaction with a company. If you could just explain to us what is the business model that you propose to follow with each of these investee companies that you have made, and where you are at the current stage with some of your largest companies.
Sure. So just to brief you about company, what we do, basically we work with startups, corporates, and government. So startups was the main focus initially when we started our company in September 2015. That's where we went ahead and partnered with the startups, where basically we were looking at a non-tech co-founders to help them in building the technology, having a long-term relationship, helping them in product development, product building. That's where we help them to prototype initial alpha beta, and followed by corporates, where in corporates we would be working mainly on the innovation front. In case if somebody comes and asks like, hey, can you develop this website or app, will not be unless until there is some sort of an innovation need. And with the startups, what we do is we take equity ranging from 10% to 30, 35% at what stage they are into. And our main focus, especially from the second year, third year, was on Heal. We were concentrating on the sectors of health, education, agriculture, and livelihood. That's where if you look at Fortigo, which was again into livelihood, and Mihoop, Snappont, InCube, etc. InCube was mainly focusing on the agriculture side.
Thank you, Mr. Saurabh. Do you have any additional questions?
Saurabh, what I suggest is
I think
if you
will give us a sense of the business model. Say, so 2 years from now, what do you expect? Do you expect to have these companies, build or take on additional technology from you, or the only return you're seeking is being able to monetize the value of the equity that you're getting from them? And the first, you can give us a sense of maybe the top two or three companies, where you are placed in terms of what you contributed, where those companies are, and what's your sense on the monetization? Because I did see on your presentation you have some valuations and other things. Please give us that sense.
So basically, yeah, so how sir? So first, basically, I take an example of two companies, which is Fortigo Networks, which is into logistics, and Mihoop Communications Private Limited, which is like a speech to direct text to speech, where like in most of these Tata cars, which you are able to see, the product is live. So after completion of 3 years, it does not mean that key app development stops. What we do is we help those startups to build tech team inside their own company. And what we do is we act as their advisors and we help them in building the product. It does not mean that key within 3 years our role ends. Our role is not an investment. We are a technical experts where we guide them with respect to what technology should be built, what, how, what, and what sort of product that should be built. So for example, in case Fortigo was our first company where we did a very minor investment, and today the value is and in case 21.6 crores. Now, in case if you look at who are the investors in the company like Fortigo, there is Accel Partners, There's the Nandan Nilekani, his family office, he himself has invested. Likewise, even in Mihup Communications, like we have investors like Axel Partners, India Ideas.
Saurabh, just to add to what Srini has said, there are startups which have different ranges of engagement with us. The first 3 years, surely we are deeply involved. But post that, as Srini was saying, that we come on a need-to basis. In many cases, you have to realize that the tech team that comes, not both qualities are often acceptable in a tech team. There's a growth and innovation phase, and then there's a business as usual phase. Often what we have seen is that we come in better as a growth and innovation phase augmentation to their team and sort of give a burstability to their time to market for new launches and stuff like that. So that engagement goes on with our startups. But one thing that you have to realize is it's a continuum. We are looking at newer and newer startups. So yes, from the older vintage ones, the exits would come typically from the kind of equity we hold in them, from the exact work with them. But that volume and all is not a regular volume. It's on a need-to basis. But there are some startups like Mihup, Srinivas was saying, which is basically for, let's say, Mihup. With Mihup, we are actually giving combined offerings for services to the government and to the corporates, wherein they do the speech-to-text part, which is their core competency. But after getting the data, analyzing it, and giving kind of insights which are focused towards a particular business, that is something Zelponk does. So it's a combined offering that goes. So I think there are different kinds of startups, and for each of them, the strategy is separate.
Thanks, Sandeep. So just saying that the strategy is different, but your ability to monetize largely depends on either a subsequent round, which is a secondary portion, or you wait till the company scales up at this point. So you just invest in kind of product development for these companies, which you identify as potential growth.
But we must understand that it's not a regular investment. It's more like a founder's equity kind of a level that we enter in. And we are mostly like exactly like intellectual capitalists, because we are entering the early stage almost at a co-founder level, and then also essentially doing the tech role for them. So our investments are low because we enter at a very early stage.
Okay. I get a sense, at least from the presentation, about your own tech abilities. Second question was more in terms of, sounds like there are two distinct categories of your, kind of process. One is being able to add value by contributing to product development for startups, which may not be able to do this on their own.
Yeah.
Looking to bootstrap. And the second part is really, more the investment hat is really identical. There could be a startup which is, which can get help from you, but really there's other, I guess, end of the piece, which is really identifying the high potential startups, right? Because there could be a mediocre startup. So how do you kind of screen, and you give us some sense of the funnel that, how many guys come to you? What do you look at? Who do you identify that, I'm going to back or put my money only on these two or, whatever number you look at? Give us a sense of either funnel, how do you screen, and what are your key criteria when you identify which other companies you're going to back with your, technology and cash?
Yeah. So essentially, it's a slightly different for us, because we are not money investors, but we are going to work with them. So our criteria has been very different. Firstly, we started with our own hypothesis and market research on our own. And this we did before we started Zelponk. We had a theory of what we call the GDP hole, which is the problem that we are trying to tackle is a significant part of India's GDP, but the tech penetration in that particular problem is very low. That's a shortlist we did, and we have our own hypothesis. We are very clear about the problems that we did, and we roughly said that 24 problems are what we are targeting, and there will be 6 jokers, because there will be some entrepreneurs who will come and sort of surprise us with the simplicity of the idea or a new area which we had not thought when we had researched. So we kept scope for it, and that's almost a portfolio thesis. Now, the singularity of these is 3 aspects. One is they're all catering to the next 500 million Indians. And that is the unification of our tech prowess and our design understanding and market understanding. Because whether it's a farmer or it's the farmer's kid, or it is a person transporting to the same demography, the kind of phones they have, the kind of tech infrastructure they have, the kind of cultural context they have, that is agnostic of the particular problem. So we essentially become kind of like theoretically a place where each problem we are solving is actually helping us solve the other problems too. So we know what we want to do, which direction we don't want to do in a particular startup, and what is the potential of that particular sector. We wait for an entrepreneur who brings the X factor and impresses us that he has got something which is congruent to what not to do, but also has freshness of idea and a kind of a hack to enter that market. Now, unlike a financial event, kind of like a VC screening and all, there are certain things that we follow. Like for one problem, we only work with one startup entrepreneur. We bet on each race with only one horse. We cannot, because we are co-creating, we are co-innovating with this guy. We cannot cannibalize him. So that's the first thing. Second aspect is that chemistry matters a lot more, because it's not just a question of signing a deal and getting a valuation and getting a percentage. I mean, you may get 40% or you may get 20%, but at the end, what matters is 40% of what and 20% of what. And the principle being that a single percent of a billion is 10 times more than 100% of a million or more, right? So those are the principles by which we go. And we essentially look at the long-term value addition we can do, the alignment with the startup in terms of chemistry, and simply that we can respect each other intuitively and we can work together. So our criteria is much, much different, and it's more towards a co-cooperation or a co-working kind of a model. So filtration, I would say that for every startup we have had, probably we have made 70, 80 startups. Does it answer your question, Saurabh?
Yeah, no, it does. I think you're getting a sense of what you're saying. But what, you know, what the larger question does remain that, you know, you're identifying, you know, within a space where there could be large problem seekers. I mean, large problem addressers, but because if they are funded, you miss out on those people because you're looking only for people, A, who are addressing large opportunities as defined by you, and within that, won't somebody
else? Yeah, surely, surely. But that's... Yeah, that is surely the bias that we have. And that is obviously the opportunity we are losing, because we are not only going... We are not going without a thesis of our own. That is the call that we have taken right at the beginning, that we'll follow what we understand and not go for what seems to be very attractive.
No, what I meant was, I agree with that. What I meant was the second part. So you want somebody who is addressing, in your view, what is the need and where is the opportunity.
Correct.
But secondly, you also want someone who doesn't want to pay you in cash, but wants to, you know, kind of dilute you.
No. The model is equity plus cash. We get our cost back. We are not funding them in that sense and doing work for free. It's just that the hands and legs and tech force that is needed, whether it's employed there or it's employed at Zelfmock, that makes a huge difference in total cost of operation. Because we have a tech bank, we are able to give the right expertise at a much lesser total cost. Because you are hiring, you are actually using the right resource for the right time and amortizing it across startups. That's the benefit they come to us for. Not that because we are giving freebies and we are getting the equity purely because of the value we are bringing in. Not because of the cost benefit. Yeah, some part of the opportunity cost is being done. We are not booking profit for our startups. We are giving them at cost.
Okay, so whatever your basic cost, which I think is probably manpower, is the largest portion.
It's a zero profit. It's a zero-sum game for that part.
So you, for each of these startups, you get your cost back.
That is correct.
And just coming back to the point that Srinivas made earlier, that we have a very large ESOP cost being written, and that's the reason why you have a negative on your financial performance. Otherwise, your costs are 100% paid in cash by each of
the startups. We still have R&D costs. We still have corporate costs as we are expanding the team. And as Srini said, that we did change our tactics, I would say, not strategy, because we did raise about 27 crore odd money for the 5% we did with Newport. And the reason for taking the money was to jumpstart our international operations and also to augment management bandwidth, because we see a huge opportunity to grow. So, and there is R&D cost, there are new researches that we are doing. There is a market building cost that we do for getting into the services business, which we have seriously started from this quarter, this financial year, first quarter. So that was always in the plans. Now, until now, we have been doing services periodically, trying to choose where is the best fitment for our skills and the value we can extract from the market. And we have come to certain hypotheses. And with that, we are now going for the Indian market as well as the overseas market as to what we will look at the service. So it is essentially a three growth, three-phase growth engine, where we have covered the startups first. Now we are looking at the services part of it, both in the corporate and the government.
I had another question, but why don't I hold off and give somebody else?
Sure. Thank you. In case anyone else has a question, yes, Ishit Desai has a question. You may please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, one of the databases I was referring to mentioned that Wubly had raised $500,000 USD in April 2022 from ShipRocket and others. So can you please confirm, was there a round or it was more on news?
I think Srini would know that better.
I think it's more of a news.
Yeah, but no round has happened.
Even when I've gone through an article, the article says that they are looking at it. It's not that they have raised.
No, sir. I'm talking about the database. So article, of course, mentioned they're looking at a much larger Series A round. Yeah. But the database mentioned $500,000, maybe a convertible round or something.
If we were sure of it, it would have reflected in our record. Okay. It's not that we will know a news and hide it. The complete transparency is there from our part. To our understanding, as of now, we have not got any intimation to reflect onto that part. So it's conjectural on the part of any database or news items that you may have got access to.
Correct. And one of the recent articles on Wubly also mentioned that they have now turned CM2 positive, right? And the only incremental cost they are incurring is on the marketing side and expansion side. So can you give us a sense of what exactly is the current burn monthly amount which they're losing, or it's still confidential? You would not.
It is something that is at the prerogative of the entrepreneur to disclose. Sure. But I can tell this, that this is a correct news, because Venkat himself has put an article and the news on that effect on LinkedIn. So I can verify that to the knowledge on that part. And obviously, see, the thing is, even if we know, it is not for us to disclose. We don't have that right. We make sure that the entrepreneur is completely in charge of his ship and he discloses at his discretion.
Correct. And in terms of runway, do you think we are still 12, 18 months covered broadly at Wubly?
I think they're doing pretty good. Yeah.
Yes. We can give you more details like with respect to how they are doing, what is that they are looking at in Q1 analyst call once it is done, because whatever data that we had, you already covered it in March 2022.
Actually, if you look at the analyst call report that we had had in the last part, correct. I think we have covered whatever the latest known status of Wubly was as of 31st March in that call.
Yes.
Sure. And sir, on Mihu, right? So we understand, of course, it's in the public domain that they have deeper partnership with Tata Motors, right? So want to understand, are they looking at partnering with some of the other OEMs? Are we looking at? Of course, I don't want any names or developments, but what's the traction there?
So Mihu has multiple businesses. Again, this is all public domain data if you follow the company.
Yep.
So what you're talking of is the auto domain.
Yep.
And there, apart from Tata, other OEMs are also showing interest, and we are doing it, and that's also disclosed. So mm-hmm. that's a product we have. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, Mihoop has products which are focused towards the call center space. Yep. And there also, we have disclosed some customers and clients public domain, which continues to exist, and new clients are being added. On top of that, again, public domain data, the sales figures and the kind of an ARR has gone up by threefold in the last 1 year.
Okay. There's no mention of absolute ARR number or revenue number, right, from you?
I don't know if they have disclosed it there, but no, we cannot do it. We can give it to the level they have given to us on 31st March, and whatever data we have disclosed that already.
Yeah, and since it's a closely held company and their audit is not yet done.
Understood.
So as and when we receive any information, that we'll be happy to share it with you.
Sure.
See, please understand, we are not controlling these startups, and that is not the idea. We work as second fiddle to mm-hmm. the entrepreneurs, and we leave them with their complete independence, and we respect that, and we'll continue doing that. Sure. Whatever is regulatory required from our side to file for mm-hmm. our records and all, we are completely 100% compliant of that. But whatever is the strategic intent and what is at the discretion of the root company, we leave it to them.
Correct. Sure. And sir, if you could help us understand a little more about Signal Analytics and what's been the development so far for last, say, past 6 months and next 12 to 18 months. What, if you could detail a little more about the roadmap on what all areas are we going to focus on? How are we targeting monetization? What kind of target user segment we're going to look at. So it will help us because it's a substantial equity from our side, right? If you could elaborate on that.
I think we have covered this in past conference calls. I'll summarize that to some extent.
Yeah.
So Signal is focused on the area of why do I need to learn in young minds? And we are tackling it by looking at the four pillars of content, our subscription-based system to make sure the right curated content is reaching the kids, our gaming system, and a smart toy system. Not all of it will be simultaneously launched. We will be going through this entire paraphernalia over time, right? In the near future and all. We'll not be launching simultaneously all of these things. Each of these will be a separate startup under Signal. What Signal does is does the common part of data analysis and essentially signal processing across all the patterns that we see emerging from that. As of now, we have already, and that's disclosed, I think we have already declared that Signal has already taken 60% stake in a content company, which was the first pillar to cover anyway. And this is a Delhi-based company, which we have been tracking. We talked to lots of startups like we always do. In the content sector, these guys we found there. The content company's charter is to make sure that they have great aesthetic sense, and together with Zeltmoc's technical capability, we're going to explore the world of new content generation. So making a great video is good, but being able to make a storyboard for a great video and then generate that in HTML5 is greater. And that's a need for the future. Being able to make a movie with a gaming engine is going to be the future. So those are the areas we're exploring there, and our primary focus is going to be the kids who we are going to serve to that part. We are currently looking and sort of working towards building up and finding entrepreneurs or building up the business for the subscription part. Because now that the content is ready, with a little bit of lag, we should start the content, the subscription business soon. And once these are all settled, the gaming will be next and the smart toys will be last.
Sure. And any of the existing edtech companies which are doing it this way, which what we have thought of, or
there surely are people who are doing many of these things. Like if you think of it, subscription, Magic Crate was always there, but their approach was different. We are trying to go back to the curation of the old days because of some pedagogical psychology that we think is important still. Like if you remember your kids, we had Chanda Mama or Anandamala, depending on the region of India you came from. And that sort of fostered our exposure because it was curated by great editors. And today the problem of the internet is it's a problem of plenty. Everything is there for the kids and hence it confuses them. So we want to put some charter and again create and foster the interest in the kid as to why he should look at a particular subject. Why should he study, let's say, a particular topic in mathematics? So we want to do that to emulate great people who have done it, to inspire them. Those sort of stuff is what we are mainly looking at. And gaming and all, instead of making them play PUBG the whole day and getting them addicted, how do we use that natural curiosity kids have towards gaming, but use it positively by making lessons or principles of the subjects they're learning come as part of the game itself? So it is a big idea. To our knowledge, there will all in India or worldwide, there will always be people who are thinking of the same thing. It's all about execution and looking at it. The fact that we are taking an all-encompassing part of it and looking at a sum of whole, I think that not too many people are doing. I'm sure that in bits and pieces, in for every vertical, there are people who are trying different things out.
Understood. And any other noteworthy portfolio companies from your portfolio you think could deliver larger outcome? I mean, at least it's showing some traction, very strong interest beyond.
We are already expressing the startups that we are investing in, right? Like we have already disclosed our investment in a startup called First Sense. Mm-hmm. And First Sense wants to do with video what Mihoop has done with voice. And Mihoop's technical skill is Mihoop is localized. It can process speech to text in vernacular languages, which is very important for the next 500 million Indians in a non-internet scenario also. That's why it's being used for cars. It doesn't need the internet to run. It always uses the internet to learn itself, but it doesn't need the internet to function. These are the things we are looking at, and with more compute power coming on the edge computing based things, especially in video, computer vision and all is important. So First Sense is there. Srini, you can tell what the other things we have disclosed, probably that will be helpful.
So in case if you look at other companies like Star and Me, again, which is purely focused on women entrepreneurs, women corporate professionals, even that's doing really well. And Slate, which is like, again, building a business analytical tool for bookkeeping and accounting, even they are also doing great. Apart from Fortigo, Mihoop, and Signal, what Sandeepan has narrated.
Correct. And you also know about Woovly yourself, you mentioned. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so last one from my side, you had also mentioned that the way we have looked at Signal for EdTech, we at some point of time also want to look at healthcare as a segment and see if we could have some holdco sort of setup, which could cover multiple aspects on the health tech side also. So any developments are there? It's still probably...
No. We want to make sure our... And again, it's not a holdco. Yeah. It's basically what we call a GPT kind of a centralizer, right?
Yeah.
So all of these companies need data science, need analysis power. Instead of trying to build it in four companies separately, we are centralizing that and giving that as a common service and also being able to cross-pollinate, right? So in healthcare, also some opportunities we think are constrained. And it's an experimentation which we succeed. As we succeed, we'll keep on doing it. And remember that we don't want to do too many things and get confused. We want to take a few things, focus and do it. And any startup activity is bereft with failures possibly. The idea is not to expose yourself and make the same mistakes in parallel. It's better to make them in sequence and learn from the older mistakes and not repeat it in future.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Saurabh, I think, has more questions. I can see a raised hand.
Yes, Saurabh, please go ahead.
Hi. So, Deepan, if it's possible to give you two kind of questions. One is, any track record so far in being able to exit any of these equity positions so far?
We have had some exits. And on paper and all, it's about 25x and all. But honestly, there were exits because we didn't see any growth possibilities with them. Please understand that we are ourselves 7 years old. So the vintage of our oldest company is 6.5 years old. And the model vintage is 2.5-3 years. And these are all fundamentally strong companies in each sector which we believe in. So I don't think we are thinking of that. That said, we are closing the 7-year mark. And that's the time of leeway we thought at the beginning we'll give. So from now on, looking at the environment, looking at the situation, we will see some exits coming up in the near future, probably in the next 1 to 2 year horizon. But it's still not immediate. The current environment is surely not conducive to think of those things at the moment. And secondly, the maturity level is still not reached or peaked enough for us to get an interest onto that part. Till now, we have exited or taken some returns out for companies where we were not adding value and we didn't see much growth potential for our value being contributed.
And just to add what Sandeepan has said, like in case if you look at, we enter at a very early stage before even a seed funding or a family friends rounds happens, we enter at a very early stage. So,
but I want to caution that profile is changing as we are getting more popular, as we are getting more known. There is a keen interest coming from some even mature startups. And in the near future, you may see that we are entering at a much different stage also. So there are no set rules. We are learning on the way. There was no magic button that we had. We knew that this is a discovery phase of the company. And hopefully it'll ever be so because that's evolution. So it's back to you. So I just wanted to make sure that's clarified.
Yeah, no. So that is the reason why, in case if you look at it like 5 years or 6 years or 7 years, we feel that's a very shorter horizon. Unless and until company goes with a Series A, Series B of Series B sort of a thing, I think thinking about taking an exit would be too early.
And please do understand that our stable is more of the impact startups. They are late bloomers. They took more time to mature, and that's a patience game. We, as a conscious decision, have taken right at the beginning when we stuck to the heel segment and mass market segments and the impact segment for the next 500 million. That's a choice. So you'll not see Zeltmog doing into a very high profile thing like, let's say, a sports betting startup or a crypto startup. We never ever delved into those things.
Okay. And just that last, very last comment you made, Sandeepa. So is it because there is a vision to only invest in an impact kind of basis? If, for example, you see a very large commercial opportunity, say, I know it's a contract kind of thing, but say in crypto or say a very strong gaming or company, with the skills that you have on your AI and ML, etc., you would still not consider them at all?
We may do services projects for them, mostly for the overseas market. But to be very frank, for anything we do in India, we want to feel we are actually adding value to the masses. Okay. It should not be a flash in the pan. If we don't believe in it, we don't touch it.
And the belief has to be for making, as you said, either sustainable or some such impact.
It has to put a smile or increase the income or make a lifestyle better for the common Indian.
Okay, got it. The second question I had was, you know, given the skill set that you are, you know, adding to these companies, you know, it seems to be like one of the most sought after skills, you know, this whole AI, ML and all those kind of things.
Yep.
How are you able to get these guys? I mean, you know, we see stories of maybe...
Mission matters. And because we are very upfront and very ethical about what we do, the right people do come to us. There's always a little bit of flutter here and there and always been there. Even in the past capacity, people used to wonder, how do I get people for basically a call center like JustDial? But we are one of the best tech teams. So as long as you're very clear in your vision and you're honest about it, you get the right people rallying around you. That said, times are tough in the current parts, but we have not been probably that much affected like people who are just rolling on the current flavor of the season. I think our stability, our congruity, and the fact that we are completely, I mean, we are very visiwig to them. We are completely straightforward. I think a certain part of the community helps. We are not for everyone. We understand that. And that's the reason we value these guys. And they are actually equity owners in ourselves. That justifies and actually explains why the ESOPs are so heavy. It is a socialist model, and we want to create that model.
Okay. So you're able to find enough. Has there been any kind of a, you know, situation where you have seen major attrition in your own?
We have seen some attrition in the recent past.
The past 2 years.
And that was more of a style of working. We are insistent on work from office, and we had some difference of opinion in some of our people, quite a sizable number of them. And whoever did not understand or appreciate our philosophy, we asked them to look for a change, and many of them did. But not for other reasons is what I am made to understand.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Saurabh. In case anyone else has a question, you may please raise your hand. Yes, Puneet, please go ahead.
You're on mute, Puneet, if you're talking.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, sorry about the background sound. I am at the airport. I just had one question. The inauguration of the new T-Hub, are we affiliated to that in any ways?
No, we are not.
Okay, but are we trying to be visible in that space so that, you know, we attract more startups?
I don't think we need to do anything extra. I mean, as you know, that one of the co-founders of T-Hub is currently heading our startup ventures. So he was very much present there, and he was part of a lot of things.
Okay.
So whatever happens through our capacity as individuals is what we do, but nothing in terms of PR activity or business development activity specific to that part.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's it from my
end. All right.
Thank you, Puneet. In case anyone else has a question, you may please raise your hand. Yes, Mr. Ravindra, please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hi, Sandeep. And hi, Srinivasan. I have one question on the services revenue part. What is the outlook? What is the outlook for the current year and the coming year?
I think we have started it. It seems to be going good. I think we can disclose that we have got our first multi-year contract, which we have never done in the past. It's ongoing and seems to be positive for the moment, but it's too early days. We've just started it with the focus from 1st April. Seems to be good, but numbers and all, we will you will see it on our balance sheets hopefully soon.
Got it. And the second is more of a philosophical question.
I love those ones.
Philosophical questions. I heard it one of the calls before.
Tell me.
We came out IPO within 3 years. And, you know, being a small company, we do conference calls. And we do two conference calls from last 2-3 quarters.
Yep.
We say that FY21 will turn EBITDA positive, and we did. And we are saying that FY23 will again turn positive.
Yep.
Sometimes it feels it's too good to be true. And what is, I want to understand
why we are saying it and why we did it, right?
Yeah.
See, the thing is, it's always a question between profit booking and wealth making, right? And we always said that it's a norm and we have to get the right balance. So FY21 was more of a question to ourselves and the world that we can do it. And once we did it, we still realized that the biggest value unlocker is still happening through the startups. We are showing profits and all, but had we put the same amount of effort in putting it into, let's say, startups, probably our wealth maturity would have been faster. Had I been able to add two more great potential startup instead of putting all the workforce into services, which gave me the good profit, I probably would have made more money in the long run. So then we started thinking that, okay, are we scaling? Do we need more people? And there was an avenue by which we got funded. So we said, let's stall our plans to go and do services projects and just book profits. Let's take a little bit of a leap backward, build the team, give it the time to settle in, and then go with a clear charter that we will do it parallelly. And not try to make it because it's a different culture. We did services projects, we were very good, but you know, my guys are guys who are used to saying this is a wrong idea to anyone they work with because that's the openness they have. Now that's great for startup culture. It's absolutely hazardous for our services culture. So you had to change culture, you had to do that. And also we were doing all sorts of things in the services because we were trying to find our place. We needed to step back, do analysis, find out which is the area we target. Because once you're in the market to make money, you cannot be fickle-minded. You have to be determined. You have to do it to the right culture. So we took that time. We built that team. We realized it's better to go and have an overseas thing. And it's not something you should be trying to control from here. And COVID played a little hand. We didn't want to waste money just because we have committed some things. We wanted to make sure every farthing we spend is justified. So we took the right sequence of things. And the team is there. So now when we are going ahead with the services and the startups together, it's very clear internally that Kolipara is looking at the startups very clearly. I am looking at the government sector and the services part clearly. That's the part that we have done. Before, it was just me and Srini at the top with Jason trying to do it from all across the three of us. It was too much for us. With 5-6 people now, it's easier. And that's the plan to do it. Similarly, the raw number of people is increased. We had always a network of people working, which was well into the right part. We can burst it because we are very well connected to the communities everywhere in programming world and all. But still, we needed internal class and variation. I think we have been able to add that. And it's better to add and build before you go ahead to that part instead of trying to build it as you go along.
And we were okay with the pain that we take on the share price because we are focused more on value growth than the...
We have always said that it is something which is a startup and we are long-term. So unless someone is thinking 5, 7, 10 years, it is not the right stock to look at. Mm-hmm. Market excitements are different. We get pegged to some other stock and it goes in a wild chase. That is not something that we as management can focus on. That's we are not trying to get a thing. We can focus on our work and stay true to our objective, which we have stated. And if anyone can say that we have deviated from that, I'll be the first to step down.
Yeah, that's been very clear.
I'm very proud of. And that's something we will never let go. Our character is our thing. Good, bad, I don't know. But this is what we are. This is what we have said right from the beginning. And then we have left for the market to judge us.
Got it. And I see that investors appreciate that.
Well, there are all sorts of investors. I'm not sure I can say across the board it's there. But yes, majority of our people do appreciate that. And that's the reason we have a very loyal base. That said, all said and done, if you take our startup, our IPO as the base point, I think we are still overperforming most people of our peer groups.
Got it. Yeah. And Sandeepan, you mentioned something about you taking care of government contract. Do we have a government contract at this moment?
No, we don't. It's in the try, but we hope to get some good news soon.
Got it. And one last question. Do we have a separate workforce for Signal?
We do. Okay. And it is, so we are recruiting some, but right now we have debuted some from Zelponk who are looking at it. They're building the data engines and the processing engines, but we were more focused as senior management of Zelponk who are looking at Signal in making sure the content company is onboarded, because in many ways it is the crux of what we will do. And we are very lucky to have got Soltrax as our partner for that part. Amazing entrepreneurs. They have been at it for a long time. And they have completely agreed to work with us on ideological grounds. So it is a great match for that. And we wanted some people like that who are cause-driven and not just, you know, balance sheet and money-driven. Because in the long term, that matters more. The vision, the unification of goals and ideals.
And Rajendra, just to add, like what Sandeepan said, whatever comments, whatever discussion that we are having right now are up to 31st March 2022.
Understood.
Whatever has happened in April, May, and June, we would be updating you in the subsequent investor call.
Correct.
Understood, Mr. Sreenivas. Yes. And Soltrax, all the existing business.
Asking one question here. Soltrax was disclosed, right?
Yeah, Soltrax was disclosed.
Thank you. Thank God. I thought I had made a blunder. I'm a bit off the mark on these things. So Srini is someone who guardianships me on that. So I always, when he made that comment, I thought, is that something we didn't disclose? And I said it out. So please go on.
Soltrax, I think they had their existing business machinery and all that. So all that they'll be using in the current form, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They're in it for the value increase. They have no other reason to be with us, to be very frank.
Understood. And that revenue we can start seeing from current year or current quarter?
Some revenues they will book, but we are refocusing them again. We are not looking at the old businesses they were doing. Some part of it they will continue, but we want to focus them on the new media, which is where we are going to do it. We are recasting their talent, merging it with ours, and coming up with a new subject and a new practice, which we think is the future of content in the internet and digital era in the next few days. Whatever you call it metaverse, you call it virtual reality, AR. Ultimately, there's a huge need of good content and good content principles. That's what we're working on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Sandeepan and Srinivas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ravindra. In case anyone else has a question, you may please raise your hand. I repeat, in case anyone else has a question, you please raise your hand or you may go ahead and directly ask your question.
I think we are done. No one has questions.
Yeah, we'll just wait for a moment, Sandeepan, sir.
Sure.
Vidal, do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Sandeepan. Vidal Sikka, the side from Amritsar.
Hi, Vidal.
Hi, Sandeepan. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And I think the reason I jump on this call is to just get some wisdom when it's... when it scares around. So Sandeepan, question was, on the last call that we had gotten, we had taken your opinion on the entire meta space and what you felt about it and how you viewed. We missed the Web3 aspect of it. And I haven't got a chance to take your opinion on that. And if Zelponk is focusing on something on that line, and what's your opinion overall of the technology as well?
So I think Web3 is more of a philosophy. And it is a step in the right direction. Web2 was all about your data being mined, but you not having ownership of it. Web3 is the ownership that you're getting and your right to your own data. That philosophy is there. Unfortunately, in the paraphernalia of all the things of meta, metaverse, and all those things, that principle of Web3 is being forgotten, right? And we are very keen on focusing on that part. And in this entire part that we have always insisted on, that identity-less but at the same time analytics driven. This match and mix is something which will drive the metaverse or the entire Web3 part of it. We are excited about Web3 prospects. We think it'll bring sea change, especially about people knowing their rights and asserting it properly and not becoming products in the hand of products in the hands of corporates who are using and exploiting their ignorance, right? So I think that will happen. But that said, I think the biggest positive thing we have seen is the right aspects of Web3 are being encouraged by the legal system and the government in India. That's a very encouraging step. Not all things of the hullabulla over Web3 or this entire thing of metaverse, especially things like crypto and all, are always very good. There are good elements to it, but there are very, very risky elements to it for the common masses. I think that is very encouraging to see. And, you know, the open structures that are coming up, we already are pretty advanced as a nation. The fact that the global embracing of similar solutions and our experience, because we have for India, in being able to build on those sort of infrastructure, like payment gateways and things that India have already done, I think gives us a little bit of a headway and kind of a tailwind to go to the international market and building solutions based on those factors. So I guess the confluence of Web3 and that experience from the past is quite a killer setup for Indian companies in general, and especially for companies like us who have looked at innovation and solutions right from day one.
Got it, Sandeep. And the Zalpmok's role in this, I understand how the synergies play out. Any concrete step towards making a mark in that?
See, the content is something I already mentioned, right?
Yeah.
And there are things that we are working on. Some parts of the Signal set of startups would obviously have to embrace elements of Web3. We are already putting that as our design fundamental. And as these things get propagated and expose themselves, you will see how they are being used. Apart from that, we are always meeting a lot of startups and all. Many of them are very interesting, focus using Web3 elements in areas of interest to us. And we are looking at that. And in many ways, you know, we left health and other aspects till we were very clear about the privacy and data secrecy issues. I think a great time to enter into those sectors coming in now once this get established. So from a timing wise, holding back on the right elements, I think we have done a good job.
Thank you. Vidul, do you have any further questions?
Vidul, does it answer you?
That makes a lot of sense, you know, and Sandeep, as an angel investor myself, like I've... Hello?
Yeah, I think we had some bad network from you. Now you're back properly. Yeah.
I'm audible?
Yes.
Are you audible? Yeah, that definitely
Because there's background noise at your end.
So, you know, I on the last line, which you mentioned that, you know, on the timing bit of it, I would definitely agree there. Because of the entire slowdown. Hello. Yeah. So,
please.
Yes, got it. So, you know, I understand all the timing bit of it as an angel.
I guess there's a bad network.
Sure, no issues. I think we can go ahead with the next. In case anyone else has a question, you may please go ahead till we wait for Vidul to come back.
Hello. Hi, Sandeep and sir. This side, Ayush.
Hi, Ayush.
Yes, sir. Actually, would love to understand the cross-selling opportunity between our portfolio companies like Woobly and Mehub. I believe most of the portfolio companies are building for the Bharat, and we have got Signal Analytics. I believe that regional edtech could be big, and then now we have got a content company. So, like, are you guys working on any sort of collaboration and cross-selling opportunity between our portfolio companies?
We always look for such opportunities. And I think we are going to be able to concretize things more and more as days come and things mature and demands increase. And I already mentioned that already us and Mihup are working for creating combined solutions, which we are trying to take as a service offering to many of the corporates and startups, which are of reasonable size. So that is already started in a very earnest phase. And the fact that we are mentioning it is there. Tries and a lot of ideations and all are always happening. But as it fructifies, you will be the first to know, because we'll disclose everything that we are doing anyway. But yes, content, I think, is a very strategic intent on our side. And as you know, content is needed everywhere. And mm-hmm. it will be needed more and more onto that part. And if you look at India and India-like things, like if the 500 million things of India typographically and sociologically match to, let's say, at least 3 billion people across Africa, Southeast Asia, and India, right? So the market is much mm-hmm. larger than just India. And if you do it for India, it's typically our perception is easier to do in other parts. That said, it'll be localized. So I think content is a very strategic part. Signal is strategic, but executing it is more. So we will take the right time. We will time it properly. Because one thing is that timing is very important. If you are too ahead of time, you'll be killed. If you are too late, you have too much of investments to catch up. Entering it just before it becomes mainstream always has been a good thing. And it's a least cost method because you wow people by the experience, or you wait for someone to make the market for you and then you actually give a better product for them to shift to you. One of these strategies work out. So we will wait and watch and try to do a right thing. But I do believe we have got the trends correct till now, touch wood. And as long as we keep doing it recursively and we execute properly, we will be on the same track on that part. From my part, if I look at it from a 7-year perspective, we are more or less on plan onto that part. A little bit here and there is there, but overall, I think pretty happy with how what we have achieved.
Got it. And also you spoke about that First Sense wants to do with video what Mihup does with voice. Can you speak more on that? If possible?
It's basically being able to say what is the expression of a kid. Is he happy? Is he sad? In a school scenario, in a hospital scenario, being able to tell that this guy actually is his pressure parameters are anyway coming in properly, but his physical look looks bad. Whatever a human eye can do, a First Sense is your vision. How do I replicate that through computer vision and learning to act as my remote eye, right? It could be applied in all over the space. Choosing the right battles to fight first is what we are figuring it out. But the core technology has come up pretty well. And the tenants are, it is not something which can afford to be very network heavy. Like you put 60 CCTVs and then you say that I'm going to stream it all to my main server. It's a huge thing. Can we compute the results there and only put the subtraction or the extraction of what action is taken to the server and sort of decrease it down? Mihup does that. Mihup processes everything locally. And if we can do the same thing for video, I think we are going to be a kind of a path breaker for that, especially for adoption in network stuff. Content. And saving is a saving anyway, in any place.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Please understand one thing, that both Mihup, because you are doing it on the edge, one thing immediately you are doing is you are already being privacy oriented. No voice is going out of the car to a central server. That's very private. If you can do the same for video, we have come up with a level of privacy and security, which is not yet very well enforced.
Got it.
Thank you, Ayush. In case anyone else has a question, you may please go ahead. Vidul, do you wish to ask any question?
Yes. Apologies for that, Sandeepan. I think we were talking about the timing bit of it and how
correct.
You're able to, you know, just get in right when the technology is about to go for a wider adoption. That works out well. As an angel investor, the valuations we are getting now, I think it's attractive to be aggressive now. The experienced one would understand it. One last question. Zelpok hosted an open day in May. Just trying to get a sense of what was the response like. And
Very good. Very good. And, you know, I mean, again, it is more of giving back to the community. Many of these were not in areas we were interested in, but just discussing with them, understanding market parameters, understanding technology challenges, skill set challenges and all. I think we are very clear that we are having a very distinctive solution and all. And we did advise them from our experience and all, especially on data science and all, our main adequate inequities are there. And I think more or less, it sort of reassured us that we are in touch with reality in a much better way. And it's interesting what startups are happening and all, but should we re-strategize ourselves? Should we look at newer and newer sectors? That's another thing that we were probing. That are there blank or blind areas that we are not catering to because of our focus? And these sort of events sort of make you become more practical, right? So we have learned some lessons and we are using those right now.
Right. Thank you, Sandeep, and wish you and Srinivas as well.
Thank you, all of us. 91 shareholders, 91 stakeholders, 91 workers. All of us are equal there. So I hope you're wishing all of us.
Oh, 100%.
Thank you. Since we are on the hour mark, I think we can take one last question if possible. Else, we can close this call. Anyone else has a last question? As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand it over back to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today for this call. In case if you have any further questions, please do drop us an email. We will try our best to respond to your queries.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.